Alleluia, 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 alleluia. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Every single one of us, with faith in the person of the Lord Jesus, received that through somebody else. Faith comes by hearing, the apostle says, and so every one of us has come to faith because of the preaching and the witness of another. This isn't an accident. It's by divine design. The principle of the incarnation, the good news that God has taken flesh in Christ Jesus, is not only an event once upon a time. It happens altogether uniquely in the conception and birth and life and death of the Lord Jesus, but the principle, the idea that God reveals himself in flesh and blood human beings, that endures throughout the whole history of the church. It is, in important ways, the whole mission of the church. When the Lord Jesus affirms Peter's confession of faith, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and he says, "It isn't flesh and blood that has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven," he's not saying it's absent flesh and blood, that Peter, sitting alone on his fishing boat, could have just thunk this up by himself. It's rather because of the experience that he has had of the person of the Lord Jesus that the movement of faith inside him is able to lock into place, like puzzle pieces that were disorganized but finally came together in that moment, and he was able to say what he was made to say, what he'd been aiming to say his whole life, and it finally came to fruit in his words. The mystery here is that those who teach us the faith, those who pass it on to us and from whom we first receive it, are often the least likely apostles themselves. If we take the two that we celebrate today, their missions seem obviously reversed. Paul was educated, organized, and put together. If you were going to hire someone to run a worldwide organization, who would you hire? Him or the fisherman? And yet it is to the fisherman that that mission is entrusted. And Paul, who seems best suited by temperament and by training to live a quiet and scholarly life, praying and doing his own thing, he's the one who's sent out to be roughshod and ramshackle and sleep, rough on the ground, to bounce from place to place and never have a home, to be separated often even from his books, so much so that he had to write his own, just for us. My grandfather taught me to say the rosary, and he taught me in this way. He was a plumber, and when I was a little boy, I would go on jobs with him and hand him his tools. So he'd stick his head up inside the cabinet underneath somebody's sink, and I'd be squatted down next to him with the toolbox, and he'd ask for a wrench, or he'd ask for the pliers or whatever, and I'd have to hand it in to him. He only had one good hand. This arm had been injured, and so it was crooked like this. And he would say the rosary with these fingers. And he'd tap them like this so that he knew which bead he was on. He literally taught me the rosary without a rosary. Who's the least equipped person to teach a child the rosary? Well, my foul-mouthed, bar-brawling, broken-armed grandfather, that's who. And yet he's the one whom God chose to use. Tonight, as the church commemorates Peter and Paul, think about the apostles in your own life. The ones that were sent to you to hand the faith on to you. The ones who taught you your prayers as children or as adults. The ones who witnessed to you the power of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection in their lives. How they were able to overcome insurmountable obstacles. The miracles to which your own people have witnessed that brought you to be here tonight. Think about the people to whom you have been sent and to whom you have witnessed the faith, well or poorly, in your own broken and inefficient way. And give thanks for the fact that God still makes apostles of us. The most unlikely ones, even as we're learning to say the rosary with our mouth. And most of all, pray for those men who are successors to Peter and Paul, the bishops of the church, and especially the Holy Father in Rome, who are inefficient and ill-equipped instruments even today, and yet whom God chooses to continue to use after his own fashion, in his own way, after his own design, to bring all of us to ongoing faith and conversion in the Lord Jesus, so that as we come to the Lord's altar tonight, we can say with Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."